From Los Angeles, this is Marketplace.
The cost of the common cold, why it's nothing to sneeze at, savvy travel predictions for the year ahead, and an orchestrated effort to attract tourists to the Florida Everglades.
It is not the dramatic national park as is a Yellowstone or a Yosemite. It's subtle, it's nuanced, it's delicate.
This is Marketplace. This is Marketplace. I'm David Brancaccio. Vice President Al Gore got a new CD at the 50th birthday party for the Everglades National Park earlier this month. You might get the audio cassette version if you're in Florida this winter and you happen to be one of the 50,000 cars a day that cross the part of Interstate 75 known as Alligator Alley. As Donna Green Townsend reports, the tape is meant to make motorists gaze out the windshield with a little more understanding of the fight to clean up the Everglades.
Dale Kreider of Gainesville, Florida, watched the Everglades change firsthand as a Florida fish and game worker for more than 30 years. And what he saw was pollution in this slow-moving river of grass. So much pollution, it now threatens the future water supply for 5 to 6 million people in South Florida, a population expected to double in the next 25 years. Along the way, Kreider started writing bluegrass songs to tell the story.
Before the coming of the roads, before the city lights, the waters of this river.
Because I was originally employed as an Everglades biologist, I sort of started out with a certain attitude about how much the Everglades had been polluted, drained, unwisely managed.
Now retired, Kreider is offering his private politics for public consumption.
She was ditched down the heart, channelized apart, wasted a river and a dream. Pastures bone dry, bass fisheries die.
The Kissimmee River was just starting to be channelized when I first saw it. And I watched it become a big channel, and I watched the marshes dry up and saw the ducks decline and all of the other wildlife associated.
Reverse the engineers, let the dredges disappear, and let Kissimmee wind free.
Only about half of the original Florida Everglades remains intact. For decades, this wetland wilderness has been drenched with excess nutrients from farming and drained for urban development. Despite lyrics that bash past government policies for helping to trash the Everglades, it's the state that's giving Kreider's songs a wider audience by funding the Motorist Awareness Project. Florida Senator Bob Graham has pushed the motorist tape concept for years because he says the beauty of the Everglades is a hard sell.
It is not the dramatic national park as is a Yellowstone or a Yosemite. It's subtle, it's nuanced, it's delicate, it is slow moving, it is flat. It is a different experience than most Americans have previously had when they think about the outdoors and America's great park treasures.
Kreider fingers agribiz as a major villain for drying up the Everglades by damming it and diking it. For instance, this song slams the sugar industry for polluting Lake Okeechobee, from which the Everglades flows.
You drove it on that wasted old lake and all of its algae green water. With the barrels of agribusiness back pumped into your border.
But sugar producers are hitting back with a public awareness campaign of their own.
Cutting the use of agricultural chemicals, testing new environmental technologies.
It's not the multi-million dollar media blitz Big Sugar launched a year ago to defeat several measures that would have taxed them to pay for cleanup efforts, but sugar growers are spending big bucks on their own ad campaign.
But we've learned caring for the environment is good for business and good for Florida.
Sugar growers are proud of recent results, showing they're 10 years ahead of schedule by reducing 72% of the phosphorus from runoff water into the Everglades. Palm Beach County sugar grower John Hundley's operation has been around for 62 years.
And it was always drilled into our heads that if we're not stewards of the land, it could never be passed, you know, to my children or to my grandchildren.
Growers like Hundley remind the public that despite defeating the sugar tax, Florida law requires growers to pay more than $230 million towards restoring the Everglades. But critics say the state's letting the industry off too easy by making the polluters pay only one-third of the actual cost of the cleanup. Charles Lee of the Florida Audubon Society says the growers want to polish their tarnished image. He foresees a day when sugarcane fields are allowed to revert back to being the Everglades.
If it were not for that government price support program, the likelihood is high that the sugar industry as we know it in the Everglades would fade away.
But sugar grower Hundley says sugar is Florida's bread and butter.
Either one or two out of every five teaspoons of sugar on that table is coming out of Florida. It's more than a $2 billion industry. It's the second largest industry in the state behind tourism.
Ironically, the cleanup of the Everglades itself is boosting South Florida's economy with eight new filtration projects worth $68 million. Environmental troubadour Dale Kreider remembers the day he stood by the side of the highway to get travelers to really see the value of the Everglades.
I was singing to 18-wheelers driving 80 miles an hour that the asphalt grime that was flying off of this steamy highway with 50,000 cars on it that very day, you know, passing and just completely oblivious to the Everglades. And I turned around and I sang a song to the Everglades. And as far as I could look, I was seeing nothing but nature in its fullest and the beauty of that river of grass.
A river of grass. Under the floor.
In Gainesville, Florida, I'm Donna Green Townsend for Marketplace.
Wild and free, a part of you and me, the Everglades Major.
Time to check in again with our savvy traveler, Rudy Maxa. Rudy has spent part of this holiday season.